Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of the You Should Run podcast. I'm your host, Tony Heil, a council member in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, and I have traveled very far today from Bridgeport across the bridge to Norristown, PA, to talk with my friend Ken Lawrence about being a Montgomery County Commissioner. If you have listened to our podcast before, you know that I talk with people who have run for office or are running for office about the experiences of running, why they get involved, the challenges of being a candidate or being an elected official or both, and why more people should run for office. So we're going to be talking to Ken about his experiences, and I hope that you as a listener will subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and suggest your people you'd like to hear on the podcast as well by tweeting or messaging me, and we'll get more guests as the time goes on. So Ken, thanks for taking time today from a busy day to talk on the You Should Run podcast.
No, I'm glad to be here, Tony.
So we've known each other a bit for over a decade. Not as long as I've known my wife, but close. And I was talking to State Rep Pete Schweier, who was on the podcast a bit ago, and I said, I've known you even longer than my wife, but not as well. So you are a Montgomery County Commissioner.
Yes, I am.
We've known each other for 12 years. Did you expect years ago that you would be a Montgomery County Commissioner?
I've actually come full circle, Tony. Even before I knew you, when I was a student at Temple University, my first internship in politics was for Joe Huffel, who you worked for in 2007, but this was back in the 90s, and Joe was a county commissioner at that time. So my first governmental experience actually was in the county commissioner's office here in Montgomery County in 1992, I think it was.
And so what made you, you're from Montgomery County?
I'm from Montgomery County.
And what made you get involved and interested in doing that? Because I imagine most people in the county have not thought about being in county government.
So I've always had an interest in government and politics ever since high school. Social studies was always my favorite class. I went to the community college. I took some government courses there. And then when I was at Temple, I had a professor who said, you know, you should really do an internship and get some hands-on experience, not just reading about it in books. So at that time, Joe Huffel was the only elected official, a Democrat elected official in Montgomery County. Marjorie Margolies-Mazinski won for Congress later that year, but I was a Democrat. I knew I was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. So, but it wasn't like there was a whole lot of choices there. And Joe had that spot by statute. You had to have at least one from the minority party. But back in the early 90s, I mean, Montgomery County was completely Republican. I think it was a 2-to-1 registration edge, and it showed up in the elected officials as well.
Yeah, so I moved to Montgomery County in 2004, and I remember working for Lois Murphy for Congress and getting the polling in and people talking about how the county was Republican. It's like, but I'm looking at these numbers, it's not a Republican county. So the count, this area has changed a lot from when you're there.
Yes. We're a blue county now. We have a majority, and you can see it as we're moving down through the state rep levels and state senate. We're flipping those seats. The municipalities are still split, but I mean, more and more they're coming the Democratic way. But I think it's important too that just from my perspective, it's not just about party registration, but that we have great people, people like yourself, who have stepped up and gotten involved and are running for office as well. I mean, I'm always continuously impressed with our Democratic candidates from school board to council, because I go across the county and see them all. And I think that's just tremendously important that we still have quality people running for these seats, not just the party label.
And I have to say that I think that really does make Montgomery County stand out. Not that there's not good candidates everywhere, but it does seem like a priority. But I'm sure back in 92 and in the 90s, it was hard to recruit those people, right?
Yes.
Because that's a big thing. And are you involved in any way in terms of like egging people on? Like, we need to get someone to run here. You should run because you're a good person.
Yeah, I'll get a phone call every once in a while from an area leader or an email. And they'll ask me to talk candidates. Potential candidates want to ask me my experiences and what they think and things like that. So yes, I do get involved in encouraging people to run.
But it's back then, people would look at the registration numbers if they were a Democrat and say, yeah, I don't want to put a lot of risk into it.
You were a sacrificial lamb to some degree. Yeah.
And so, that's one of the things I was thinking about with talking to you in Montgomery County is that success kind of breeds success in politics.
Absolutely.
And it moves on up. So people who were those quote-unquote sacrificial candidates, like, they made a big stride so that later it was easier for others. So you worked in the 90s, but you didn't – did you work on campaigns after that?
So I went from Joe to actually an internship with Margie Margolis-Mazinski, which actually led to me working for her on her congressional staff for her second year in office. She served for she served just one term, so 2 years. So I had, you know, big hopes and dreams. She was going to win re-election. I was going to go to D.C. then. I'd work on the Hill for a couple of years. I was going to come back and run for state rep. And then she lost in what was the Republican Revolution, they called it, of 1994. And that's when Newt Gingrich became Speaker. It was the first time that Republicans had taken control of the House of Representatives in over 40 years.
Yeah.
So that I learned then that you can lose. Yeah. And you can make plans, but voters are going to decide. I worked on a couple of campaigns after that, always losing. And I thought maybe I'm not cut out for this. So then most of my career has been on the private sector side at Merck. And then I had my own business for 5 years. And then I was at Temple for 8.5 years. But I've always been involved with campaigns with my friends running, you know, on every Huffle race that he ran after that. You know, I knocked on doors with Josh Shapiro when he first ran for state rep in 2004. You know, a good friend of both of ours, Tim Briggs, ran in 2008. And so I've always been involved, but always been involved as an advisor, kind of behind the scenes, you know, helping out there, never being the candidate myself.
And one thing I was thinking about with you, because I have known you since I worked on that campaign 12 years ago, and we do both knew Briggs forever. I even forget that he has a first name all the time. But that there's a lot of loyalty in politics, and it makes a difference so that you know, well, if I'm going to be involved, I know my friends are. So you kind of, your first time, you're kind of by yourself, right? The first thing, you had to meet a lot of people, but then you kind of create a growing circle that you'll want to be around. It makes it more fun and enjoyable.
Right, right. And I mean, I think that's an advantage that I've had over some other first-time candidates is that I do have 20-year relationships with people who have been willing to give me advice, you know, been willing to help, been willing to give me a knock on the head when I need one. Mm-hmm. So it's been good. Yes, but relationships are tremendously important.
And a lot of people who look at it from the other side who don't know will be critical of that because that's just how people are with politics. They think, oh, they know each other, but anyone's welcome to come in.
Right.
If you want to be part of it, you're welcome to join it, right? Mm-hmm. So you hadn't run, you didn't run for anything else, right?
I ran for delegate twice. I was a delegate in 2012.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
For Obama.
I voted for him.
And then thank you. I appreciate that. And then I was a delegate for Hillary in 2016. Mm-hmm. So you go through the process then of getting your signatures or things like that. But yeah, this is the first you know, major office.
There's no one campaigning against you.
Right. Right.
So when you were running for this, you were appointed to be a Montgomery County.
Yeah, I was appointed when Josh Shapiro became Attorney General in 2016. He stepped down. So then I was appointed by the Montgomery County Court of Common Pleas. So I've been serving as a commissioner since 2017, now over 2 years. But now I'm running for my own term.
Right.
You know, I'm serving out Josh's term now. Ideally, in November, I'll get elected to my own 4-year term.
And so that wasn't something you knew Josh was not going to be. You were hoping he wouldn't be a commissioner because you wanted him to win his other race for attorney general. And you were hoping he would do that so eventually he would do a podcast with me, correct?
Yeah.
So what were you expecting? Like, oh, yeah, he's going to do that, then I'm going to do that. That's all.
No, not at all. I mean,
I'm asking because I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, not at all. You know, after the election in 2016, I mean, Josh, of course, was one of the bright points of that. I was very disappointed with the results at the national level in the president's race. I was starting to feel, even before the election, that I wanted to serve in some way. I wanted to do something more. I was working at Temple University, and it was a great job. But, you know, I would have considered going into the a Hillary Clinton administration. Mm-hmm. You know, I might have considered working for Josh, you know, in the Attorney General's office. I knew I wanted to serve at some point. I didn't necessarily feel that I had to run to do that. But, you know, started having conversations with people, and they had been going through a process in terms of trying to pick someone. A lot of people assume that Val and I were like lifelong friends, or that we knew each other. To your point, we did not have much of a relationship. I mean, I think it was a mutual respect. Mm-hmm. But I raised my hand. You know, I got the party support, and then the Court of Common Pleas support. So here we are.
Yeah, I remember, because I'm obviously a Montgomery County resident. If you've been listening since minute one, feeling comforted because we got this president. I don't know if you've noticed, but he's crazy and very irrational. And I was like, you know, both Ken and Val are calm. I just feel like if somehow Ken Lawrence, who probably doesn't have the national security credential or whatever to be president, if he was president today, I'm like, okay, I am not nervous right now.
Well, and I think...
And same with Val.
I think... If there a good side of 2016 is, we've talked about the people who have stepped forward, and you were a little ahead of that and going, but I think people should run, and I'm not just trying to promote your podcast here. Look, we both know a lot of career politicians, and that's good, but I think it's good for people with different backgrounds. To your point, you don't have to have been involved in politics for 20-some years to run for council, to run for school board. And I think it actually makes us stronger if people who haven't necessarily been involved all their lives step forward to serve their community. So I wanted to be an example of that. So, you know, I'm running for my full term. You know, I don't think I'll be doing this for the next 10-20 years, but I think it's important for people to get involved, understand how government works, but also bring their outside perspectives to government as well.
So as we were talking about before this, you had an outside perspective, though kind of an insider one too, but now that you were a county commissioner, and now you have been for 2 years, now you're making real decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of things are probably surprising. Maybe from the out, are there any things that from the outside seem like, yeah, that's you obviously do that, and then when you're there, it's like, oh yeah, this is harder than I thought.
Yeah, I've been very surprised. The biggest surprise for me is I've been very fortunate in my professional career that I worked for Merck, a Fortune 50 company, and I worked for Temple, a very large institution. So you have a lot of resources there. County government is lean.
People don't realize that.
People would probably just have a perception that, you know, we're fat and bloated. That's not the case. And, you know, our county employees actually went through several years in a previous administration where there were no raises given at all. So we've actually fallen behind our neighboring counties, and not just Philadelphia, but, you know, Bucks, Delaware, and Chester in terms of what we're paying our employees. So it's a competitive marketplace. Nonprofits, I mean, we're, you know, sometimes I'm concerned that we're penny wise, pound foolish, and that we lose good people for that. And, you know, people, when they make the call to the Office of Children and Youth or to Aging and Adult Services, you know, they want service, and our county employees do a wonderful job of that. I think we could compensate them a little bit better. So that's just been one of the surprises for me is, yeah, I mean, we just don't have a lot of resources. I'm kind of used to just picking up the phone and saying, hey, go do that. We have to be very thoughtful. Now, the flip side of that is, yes, we are, it's public dollars that we're using there. So, you know, I definitely believe that, no, we shouldn't be paying the same rate as Merck or other places. But there's got to be a balance there, and I'm just not sure that we're there yet.
Well, I think that politically it's very easy for a candidate or even certain politicians to just kind of stick it to those kind of people, if you want to say it that way. That, oh, well, we're holding the budget tight, we're not going to do that, and, you know, not talk about how the employees are not people, but are just numbers on a spreadsheet.
Right.
So having an outsider perspective, maybe you were able to look at it and say, I know what this is like, and that, you know, that's refreshing.
Yeah.
So are there any challenges in terms of timing or things that are just... in your head a lot, because I watched you the last 2 weeks, not just the last 2 years, but you came to Bridgeport for a boat opening and you were there. So that's something I'd do. There was a pride celebration here in Montgomery County. There was also, there were a bunch of other things happening every day. You're representing a county that's bigger than some states.
Yeah, we're bigger than four states.
You have, and those are states with a lot of stuff going on too. So you have a lot of things just on your, in your head that you have to take care of. Has that been a surprise to you? How many things you have to just always be aware of?
Yeah, always. So, and that's a important part of the job, is to be out there representing the county and being at those events. But it's trying to find that balance then to, like, if we were doing this in my county office, you would see a big stack of things on my desk that I'm looking to read and go through. So it's trying to find that balance between, you know, doing the public functions and going around the county, but also making sure that I'm doing the work and doing the reading and understanding what's happening within county government so that I can ask our employees good questions when they're coming to us with recommendations for things.
Yeah, when you're working as someone doing government relations work for a university, well, you need to know all the stuff you need to know about education, but you don't have to know about everything.
Yeah.
And if you're a county commissioner in Juniata County, maybe you don't. So I appreciate that just seems like a lot. Plus, you're at a ton of events. How many events you might go to in a given week, especially now that you're campaigning?
I couldn't tell you. Like, it's but you know what? That's, as I said, I mean, I don't, it's part of the job. So it's absolutely part of the job. People like to see their government officials, or at least I hope they like to see us. Maybe some don't like to see us at some times. But so, you know, it, for the most part, it's fun. But yes, with the campaigning, it does pick up a lot, because then there's a lot of political events on top of the county and community events as well.
And I appreciate the time that goes into it. And I know a lot of people get antsy for the county commissioner's time, whether it's in the government role or the political role. It's like, well, you're not just a commissioner. You're a father, you're a husband, you're a person.
Yes, yes. And
you have to find times to unwind and watch a baseball game or do other things. So now you're a county commissioner. You've seen a lot of the things going on. You have a big budget, you know, at least $2 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what are the things that you want to do or you have done that people might not notice, but might not know about, that the county is involved in?
I basically have found that most people don't know what our county government does.
Yeah.
You know, the health and human services that we provide, I mentioned the Office of Children and Youth and Adult and Aging Services and things like that. So that's a huge part of it, too, is the health and human services helping people. Your Way Home, our agency. We have 75 miles of roads that we are responsible for, that we own here in the county. We have 133 bridges. I like to say that nobody knows who owns a bridge until they can't drive across the bridge. Then they figure out who owns that bridge
and starts
calling us. In 2012, 62 of our 133 bridges were structurally deficient in some way. So they were either weight restricted or closed. You know, so since then, we've completed 20 of those projects. We have 35 projects underway in some area of design. But if you're one of the 35 bridges that's still impacted by that, you don't really care about the 20. So that's a crucial thing.
And as someone who is, like, for me, I'm in Bridgeport, I would know that the bridge in Bridgeport has an issue. But you probably, so you don't know until you're there. How do you find out that this is an issue?
Well, I think previous administrations had kicked it down the road and weren't doing regular inspections of the county bridges. So what I've found, and what's been frustrating to me, and that you asked, one of the frustrations is how long it takes to fix a bridge if you let it go too far. The design process, I mean, you know, these things. I mean, you know, it's not like getting your driveway paved that you just kind of come out and get a quote.
Our driveway paved, we got a grant in Bridgeport from the county for getting a parking lot. And yeah, that took months to get it done, to get all of.
So bridges can literally take years.
Yeah.
And I feel people's pain, because that's a quality of life issue. Mm-hmm. If you're being detoured around, getting your kid to school, getting to work, So I think the most important thing is that once we get all our bridges in good working condition, that you have to have a regular maintenance program. You can't just ignore a bridge for 10, 15 years because the fix then is going to be that much longer and more expensive than it was if you just maintain a regular maintenance program.
Yeah, and you know, the way you talk about it reminds me of why you're talking about the workers getting paid correctly, because you didn't talk about it as, well, does it look good or people need to get around. You talk about it correctly as a quality of life issue for getting to work.
Right.
And I think that's something when we're talking about recruiting candidates, those perspectives are important so people understand the working lives that people
right.
have.
Right.
So that's what you're doing. Is there anything, if you finish out this next term, you'll have 6 years as a county commissioner. Obviously, you want to get some bridges built, which is important.
Yep.
How would you define success for yourself, you think?
So we're at a little over 90 miles of trails right now. With the trails that we have underway and in design and some trail link ups. I mean, one that'll be coming through Bridgeport, which I know you've heard about that. Yes. Do you know about that one, yes. Tony? The Chester Valley Trail. So,
which is getting more attention because the area is getting built.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in my own term, we would cross over 100 miles of trails during that term. So I think that would be very cool. We are in the planning phase now for our a new justice center in Norristown. Right now, we're refurbishing the building One Montgomery that we're in and going down. So that would actually be completed in the next term as well. So, you know, that would be a great thing. I love our boroughs and older municipalities. Bridgeport is great. Pottstown, you know, Norristown, I think, is right on the cusp. I think Bridgeport is, but so, you know, I would like to work with some of those municipalities to particularly along the trails. I mean, I think that those are the places that millennials are going to want to live.
And I think from our perspective as a borough, one, it's really cool to see that our borough is doing well. And then two, if Norristown or King of Prussia do better, we do better. It's not a competition where only one of us can do
absolutely.
It.
And you know, one of the reasons why I'm doing this is for my boys. I mean, I know you, but I have two teenage sons. One's going away to college next year. But I look at my immediate family. You know, me and my two sisters both live in Montgomery County, and my parents are in Montgomery County. And look, I want my boys to go wherever and do whatever they want to do, but you know, I've had a lot of opportunity from being a Montgomery County citizen. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure they have those same opportunities. You know, I want them to go wherever they want to college, but, you know, I want to make sure there's opportunities that they don't feel like they have to go somewhere else for a job or they have to go somewhere else to live in a cool place. You know, they can come live in Bridgeport. They can come stay with you, so.
I mean, we have lots of housing in Bridgeport. It's getting expensive.
Oh, but not your housing. I got it.
Well, we have. If they could take care of my kids, that's fine. So I can finally get a break. You know, that's something that reminds me that women are often asked, how do you balance family and career? And then the men are like, well, you're a man, so you do that. But you have to balance family and career, right?
Absolutely.
And but you have to deal with your family things as well. And it's a little bit easier when they're teenagers, I assume.
Right.
So it does get easier, right? Please tell me it gets easier.
Look, it does get easier. It depends. Look, I put family first. I don't miss family things. I don't miss their activities. Because you can't get that back. And that's a nice thing about having some flexibility with my schedule to do things. But, you know, I try to make sure that I am there for them and their activities. I don't want to be the father that's not in the picture at the school events or didn't see the game. So, and that's been throughout my career, you know, kind of a priority. So I just keep that going. Now, you know, there are
probably sometimes that they wish they knew
right that I was not around. Right. I actually last night there was nothing going on for me. And I was like, okay, we're going to have a family night. We're going to go out for ice cream, and then we're going to watch a movie. And my son wanted to go spend the night. I was like, no, this is family night. But particularly on, you know, on some weekends, like on the 4th of July, I'll be in three parades. So they might come to one parade to see me, but then they'll be at a cookout, and I'll get to the cookout later on that. But so there definitely are sacrifices that are made. But if it's something for them, I always make sure I put that
first. And I think it's important as we recruit candidates further down the ticket. They're not much the further down, but there people say, oh, I need to make time for my family. I don't know if they see someone like you putting the family first and still doing it, then they think, well, he can do what I can do.
Well, and I think that's frankly important too. And I think it's not something that people should run from or try to hide. I think people respect that if you say, sorry, I'd love to be there. I have a family event. I don't think it's something people should be bashful about or shy about.
I wouldn't criticize someone who I disagreed with on politics because of that. But we're trying to recruit people to run for office. And so you go around from all these municipalities, you go to all these events. You now, as opposed to the 90s when we couldn't find people to run as Democrats in the county, you see a lot of candidates. So why should people run? What's the benefit for them, for the community, for everything up and down?
To make a difference in their community. I mean, that's the most important thing, to make a difference in their community. If you see something that you think should be changed, I mean, be that change and step up and do it, and don't be bashful about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, you're talking about the things that you're going to work on doing, the bridges, the buildings, the things in the communities. Years down the road, like if you decided to not run again for whatever reason, or you ran for something else, you'll always have your name on that.
Right. The legacy. Yeah, the legacy there too. And, I, you know, one of the things that I try to bring to this as well is you talked a little bit about the tone that our nation has been in since 2016. And, you know, I think you called me rational or sane. I try to be civil. We don't have to agree on everything.
Mm-hmm.
I just think our national discourse has become too coarse. You know, sometimes people, you have trolls on Facebook, you know, sniping at this or that. And sometimes I want to say to people, you know, don't you want to get to know me before you don't like me? Like, right. I love how people can just decide based on our party or our picture or where I was that somehow we're evil or bad people. I think that's ridiculous. So, you know, it gets hard because people lie and people go, but I don't want to do the politics of personal destruction and demonize. So we can agree to disagree and let the voters decide.
Well, I appreciate that. I remember when we were first, you were doing the things for the county race in 2007, and then hearing that you were the new county commissioner, I was like, I know that Ken is nice. He was specifically nice in instances. I had an instance on that campaign where I was working with volunteers, and one of the volunteers was doing things, like he appeared disheveled. And instead of saying, Tony, you're messing up, and like, Tony, this happened, and we cleared it up. And I remember that, thinking, well, if that's how he's going to treat others now, that bodes well for being in county government. Like, people are who they are.
Right.
Right? I mean, I'm sure you've noticed that for every level of government.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, Tim Briggs, who did the podcast earlier, he's just Tim Briggs all the time.
Right. So, I mean, you talk about relationships. I mean, I met Tim in 1994 we were both working for Marjorie Margolis-Mazinski. And so, yeah, we lost that campaign, and I didn't get to go to D.C., but I got one of my best friends out of that experience. You know, we were in each other's weddings. So.
Well, and because you both made friends, and hopefully people are listening, they will get involved in things too. So you may lose, but later down, you were both making an impact that at that time
may have seemed impossible. In 2007, lost that race too, but, you know, people come and look at you now, serving in Bridgeport. I remember when I first heard that you were running in Bridgeport. It's like, Tony? Yeah, it's great. It's great to see that.
So the county's changed, and I think a lot of that's changed because people have run for office. Do you think that people will look at some races and think, well, in this area, Republicans win all the time, or if Republicans will be like, Democrats win all the time, but it looks hard, but overall, over the years, it pays off, right?
Yeah, and I go back to Tip O'Neill said all politics is local. When we first moved here, you know, I was actually born in Chester County, but when we first moved here and moved to Towamencin, you know, our neighbor told my dad that he had to register Republican or our trash wouldn't get picked up. And now you kind of look back at that and think, how ludicrous is that? But that was kind of the mentality then, is that, you know, if you want
stuff... And I've heard that from a lot of people.
If you want stuff done, you need to be registered Republican.
I can't imagine as a local official, like, looking up someone's card.
That sounds exhausting. Your trash will not get picked up. But I think at the end of the day, even the more local the race... I mean, the more personal it becomes. So, you know, someone who's been involved at PTO and has been involved with that, then they're going to run for school board, but then they're going to have a base there. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that has helped me politically in my local area is that I coached in the local basketball league and soccer league forever. So, you know, people call me Coach Ken, and I coached their kids, you know, for the years. So it's Republican or Democrat. They don't really care. They know me as, you know, that I was coaching there. So I think, you know, people who are civically involved, but it's so important. You can't, yeah, maybe some places, I think that might have become, you know, the problem is when people were just running because of the party and thinking, and then maybe you didn't have the best people stepping forward to run.
That's changed.
Yeah.
That's changed. So you could be one of those best people, wherever you are, whether in Montgomery County or any county. And I did our last episode with Barbara Bassett. She's a state representative in Montana.
Oh, wow.
The governor there, the Democrat, he won in 2016,
while
Donald Trump won by 20 points in that state.
He's running for president now, right?
Well, everyone is.
Yeah. I actually saw him speak at a somewhere. But yeah,
he's a good guy. Great. He should run for Senate, but he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But everything, those personal relationships matter. So maybe if you're listening, you can create some personal relationships that will last 10, 20, 30 years or more if you run for office, right?
Yeah, definitely. And it's been a lot of fun. There are challenges to it, but there's nothing more rewarding than making a difference in your community.
Great. Well, before we finish here, if people want to learn more about you, if they want to learn more about the mind of Ken, as which has become famous on Facebook, should they follow you on social media, Twitter?
On Twitter at Ken Lawrence JR. Website, do people still do websites? www.kenlawrencejrpa.com. It's not because I'm running statewide, but I couldn't get Ken Lawrence JR for some reason. You can follow me on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Yeah, I'm out there.
Well, learn about Ken, ask him questions, because if you're asking nice, you'll probably get a nice response.
Yeah, all right.
So thanks, Ken, for stepping on the You Should Run podcast, and hopefully if you're listening, then you should also...
Run.
Run. Thank you, Ken.
All right.